Welcome to another time of abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, by the new and living way, consecrated for us into the life within the veil. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith as we hear the word of righteousness with God's servant, Pastor Emeka Eguchukwu.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. I give you praise, Adonai, the Lamb of God. I honor you, Jesus, the Son of God. Thank you. Thank you for bringing us this far. Thank you. Thank you for bringing us to the place where we are interfacing with the things everlasting. Blessed Lord, we ask, show us mercy. Even the mercy that you alone, the high priest, can administer. Show us mercy. Mercy at all sides. Mercy at all sides. Mercy at all sides. You said, if you know what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. You will not have condemned the guiltless. Lord, we ask for mercy. Mercy that you minister, you administer the mercy of God. We ask for mercy. Show us your mercy. Show us mercy. Please be merciful to us. Again and again in this time, in this hour of need, show us your mercy. Lord, we ask that in the place of your word that we have come, we ask that doors be opened. You cause that your word will be spoken. You will bless us. You will help us. Understanding will be given to us. You will also grant me utterance that I will speak as I ought to. Help me, dear Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Trust you, Jesus.
Well, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. For there is a burden even upon my heart for you in this season, even in this time, says the Spirit of God. There is a burden in the heavens for your company, a burden in the heavens for your assembly, a burden for a particular entrance. A particular entrance, a specific entrance that is required even for you as a people, yea, as a company, particularly for your company, yea, even for your assembly, a peculiar entrance is hanging over you, and from that entrance I place burden even upon your under shepherd. You will speak for that entrance. You will speak for the entrance. I will place words in your mouth to speak for this entrance. For this entrance is needful at this time. To stand in your lot in this particular season as a company. As a company. For you have found mercy before the heavens. You have found mercy before the heavens. And from this mercy is the Pisivejilo demiana freni. Me shio shibasio shia siesio shi. My viesio oshi. Aviesia shio feshia siesia shi. We desire to open you up to this entrance. And there, fazile is the burden. The fiasio says the burden upon you. Episos is to bring the burden upon you. Levijo trees the burden upon you to speak, even to cause move to Fushimazi through this entrance. Istosias into this, even into this lot, to stand in this lot, to occupy this lot, to occupy this lot, to occupy this lot, to occupy this lot. You will speak from that burden. I'm empowering you, I'm enabling you to speak, even this burden, to admit, even this company, even this your company, even this entrance, even into this entrance, says the Spirit of God.
Hallelujah. Lord, you help me to align in the Spirit. Help me to align. Help me to align. Help me to line up with your ministering Spirit that is here. Help me to align. I come under your Spirit. I come under you, Lord Jesus. Help me to align with this emissary of heaven that is here. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I thank you. Jesus. Thank you. Oh, thank you. Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Help me connect that burden that is in your heart. Let it be spoken. Let it be spoken. Let it be spoken. Help me. Help me, I'm weak. Help me. I don't have strength of my own. Help me. Help me. Jesus, help me. Help me. Amen. Amen. Let's quickly turn our Bibles to the book of John chapter 10. For a while now, I've not really preached, but I remember the last time I taught, I was teaching from these scriptures, and I remember I had to, there's a whole lot of scriptures that came up that eventually gave us, you know, a whole lot of, you know, thought around it, and it was more like I, you know, was driven to certain scriptures. And but I want us to return back here, because there's something here that I want us to observe. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Thank you, Jesus.
One, 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 one,
Jesus. Jesus. Pashtanaba. Pashtanaba. Pashtanaba.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. I sent him, bearing the burden to pour upon you, even upon you, the burden for this entrance. I sent him, help. I sent him as help. I sent him as one to help, to usher you even through this door. Through this door. Evisho inama mrimanoson evima diezenom. And for there has been much contention for this door. There has been much contention even for you in the heavens for to come through this door. There has been much contention. I sent him to help you come through this door. It's your entrance. It is written even in me that you would come through this door. It is written even in me that you would come through this door. You will come through this door. You will enter therein. You will enter herein. For it is a door that brings you closer even to me. It's a door that brings you closer even to me. Yeah, it's a come up hither. It's a come up hither. It's a come up to this new plane. This new plane. This new plane. This new plane. It's a come up hither. I'm sent to help you come up. I'm sent to help you come up. I'm here to help you come up. As an assembly, as a company to come up. As a company to come up. As a company to come up. You need to come up. It has been about your not coming up. It has been about your not coming up. It is has been about your not coming up, but I'm here to help you come up. I am here to help you come up. Come up. Come up. Come up. The Father wants you to come up. The Father wants you to come up. The Father wants you to come up. And he sent me to help you come up. To come up.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. The Lord will help us. The Lord will help us. John chapter 10, from verse 15. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I remember the last time I preached here, that was 3 weeks ago. Four weeks ago, I was talking along the line of knowing the knowledge of the Father or knowing the Father. What it means to know the Father. Now, we can't come up. The coming up is not without a summon. It's not without a voice. A voice, not just a voice, as it were, come up, yeah, but is a command. In other words, is a commandment. In other words, there are things that has to be done to come up. I remember one of the scriptures I used that last time was 1 John chapter 2, verse 7. 1 John chapter 2. I write no new commandments to you, but an old commandment. I'm going to just say some things. Normally teachings like this comes, and most of the time, I don't get to exhaust them. I don't get to exhaust the thoughts. They keep streaming. One of the things I've discovered is that as they come, they have to be fully spoken. The reason for fully speaking them is for our benefit. Because the coming of those thoughts, nothing will be able to bring us up except the thoughts of God. It's the thoughts of God that raises a man. To come up hither is not out of the body experience, is not rapture. To come up hither is thoughts being given to you, thoughts that will make for your ascension. Who will ascend? Who will come up? The book of Psalm 24. Who will ascend the holy hill? Is also in the earlier chapter. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Now that's coming up. So you can see the things that are required for ascension to be effected. Who shall stand in his holy place? They need to be coming up. They need to ascend and then they need to stand. Now that word stand means established. Now, realms of the spirits that are opened up to us, we can have, as it were, experiences, but not stand. I know what I'm talking about very well because I've experienced it. But to stand, you have to not just ascend, you have to be established. There's what makes for ascension. There's also what makes for standing. There is that which is required for you to ascend. And there is that which is also required for you to stand. In Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 6. Is it 6? 5? Finally, my brethren, not the scriptures. A lot of scriptures are just coming to my... He said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor. Now, this is armor of God, not the armor of the Lord. The armor of God that ye may be able to stand. So here, what is being demanded is stand. Can you say stand? I'm not hearing you say stand. So there is the ascending and there is also the standing. Now I said to stand is to be established in the realm where you have, as it were, ascended to. Praise God. You need to be established on that ground. You don't just ascend, but when you ascend, you need to be established. Now, to ascend, there is a commandment to ascend. Now, nobody ascends without commandment. You can't ascend without obedience. Obedience to commandment. So when you hear come up is a commandment. Commandments have to be given to you. Now, those commandments are the things that will make you come up. They will make you come up. Those commandments as they come, they will make you come up. Now, when you've come up, then you are now given further commandments to abide. That's another word for to abide. Now, I think it's Psalm 15 talked about abiding. Well, this one is ascending. Who shall ascend and who shall stand? Then in Psalm 15, it was talking about who shall abide. So when you ascend, to ascend, there's commandment. Listen to me. There's commandment for ascension. And there is commandment for to stand, lest your feet be moved. Meaning there are things you need to do for your feet to stand. Because you're going to be standing against the wiles of the enemy. Wiles, you're going to be standing against wind. You're going to be standing against spirits. See, there is no ground in the realm of the spirit that does not have opposing forces. Your heavenly father purposely did it like that. If not, he won't say, he that overcometh. If it is just something you just glide through. Oh, come up hither. We are marching to Zion. It would have been very, very easy. But to ascend, you have to exert strength. The strength that has to be exerted to ascend. Now that strength, where that strength is not, listen to me, is not in prayer. Primarily, we pray, and we are going to pray you here, we are going to be praying, is in obeying of commandments. There are commandments that if you don't obey them, you will stay where you are, no matter who you are. And for your information, God is no respecter of persons. He won't respect, okay, he's a pastor. Let's allow him. No. Lift up your heads, all ye gate, and be thou lifted, all ye everlasting doors, and let the King of glory come in. They have to ask. That was the Lord, though. That was the Lord Jesus. Everlasting doors are the doors of God that keeps everlasting things. Be thou lifted, ye everlasting doors. So those doors are everlasting. I've said it once, that those everlasting doors, somebody once, I heard it in a preaching, that those everlasting doors, it's a psalm when he was talking about our Lord's, not ascension, when he went to hell, you know, lift up your head, all ye gates, and be thou lifted, all ye everlasting doors. No, it's not, that was not those doors. It's the door of everlasting life. Entrances that needs to be ministered. And you can see it is not just one door. Doors. Ye everlasting doors. So it means that there are entrances that will need to be ministered into the kingdom. Peter called it the everlasting kingdom. So that's what Psalm was talking about here. Be thou lifted, O ye everlasting doors. And the doors, everlasting, could talk. So if those doors could talk, those doors are, they are spirits. They are spirits. Who is the King of Glory? That was our Lord Jesus. They were asking who. So the door does not respect. When you hear God is no respecter of persons. That was our Lord. This is a psalm of the Lord. He was speaking first and foremost, primarily about our Lord. And everlasting doors. Who asked, who is the King of Glory? Who is the person that I need to open up for? So there, they don't respect the fact that you're a pastor. They don't respect the fact that you're a deacon. They don't respect the, you'll be surprised, the doors will open for people you don't imagine they open for. That's a criteria. Who shall ascend? He said, who is the King of Glory? He answered, the Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty. He has just fought. He's a warrior. He overcame. The Lord strong. And when you hear the Lord strong and mighty, he's not talking about the might of a man. The Lord strong and mighty is talking about the strength. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. There is his might, and his might is not anointing. His might, what makes up his might are substances. Things come together to make what is called his might. He's a building, bringing together of things to make for might. One who is mighty in the spirit could be one you will look upon in the physical and he will be so weak. One who is mighty in the spirit could be one you never even considered has strength. Maybe the person doesn't pray as much as you do. Oh, I'm not saying it's not good to pray. You need to pray. You need to stay in prayer, like I said. But might in the spirit, things has to be given to you. Remember the spirit of wisdom and revelation, counsel and might. So in other words, what makes up that might? You see, what the spirit of wisdom and revelation will fetch is the knowledge of him. The substances which are the knowledge of him. Now it is the spirit of wisdom that will fetch those things. Understanding will help gather them together. Then counsel, I've talked about it. Counsel will inform how you use them. And as you use them, might will gather. You just gather those things, those substances, in turn, gather to become, consolidate itself as might. Meanwhile, the person might be looking weak physically. But before the Lord, they are seen strong and mighty, not in himself, but in the Lord. So in other words, he's talking about what made the Lord strong and mighty is what has to make you strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. And our battle is also not as you think it, one who has been praying and binding and casting. One who might be mighty, considered mighty, might even be one who is almost like, Lord, I'm just holding on to you. I'm just relying on you. I don't even know what to do again. I'm confused. I'm just holding on to you. You see that? I'm just holding on to you. The Lord counts it as mighty. He will count it as mighty. You don't know what it means to hold on to the Lord. Now, I want to say this to us, brethren. You are in spirit church. So certain things have to be spoken to you. You're not in a place where you'll be pampered. You are in a place of spirit. It's windy here. It's windy. Windy in the sense that certain operations around what, you know, one of the things is that also when we don't know the kind of operations that are around what we hear. We joke with what we hear. That's my problem. We still think it's business as usual. We joke with those things. There are certain operations that are there. Those operations have one aim. They are to make you enter. To make you enter, there is a conversion that has to take place. Now, no flesh will stand in his presence. No man, strength of man, will glory in his presence. So if those things cannot stand in his presence, means there are things that they will have to administer, certain operations has to administer for, to help. When they wanted Paul to enter, he cried 3 times. I besought the Lord. Because there was something that was, you know, and the wisdom for overcoming in that season was not praying that thing away. Wow. It wasn't praying it away. The wisdom to overcome was to press further. Can you just press further? The wisdom to overcome it was, can you overlook it? Can you overlook that issue? Just take your eyes from off it and then keep moving. That was the wisdom. Because, you see, the wisdom, this is how it is a wisdom of he that is strong and mighty. The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. The wisdom is the enemy is using that to try to deter you and discourage you, weakening you. But that weakness, God accepts it as a sacrifice for entrance. I'm just wondering, am I speaking to the right people? Then they told him, my strength is made perfect. There's a strength you need to enter with. But the way you are configured, he was an apostle. He wasn't, this discussion wasn't when he was a Pharisee. This discussion was as an apostle, one who has written epistles, one who, as a matter of fact, had journeyed. But here we are talking about everlasting doors. And the wisdom was when you are weak. But you see, the Lord won't make you weak. There is a wind that desires to blow. And the desire of that wind is to weaken you. Wow. Try you. See if you can be discouraged to the point where you turn back. And the Lord steps back and allows it. For the wind has an intent, but the Lord has seen what it will work out. Wow. The Lord has seen that it will work out a kind of weakness that qualifies you for his own strength. Now these are hard sayings. These are hard saying. That's why I told you, I said, every realm has contrary winds. Those winds, they don't intend for you to stand. In fact, first of all, you don't even ascend because they blow. So when you're climbing, you're climbing against forces. And that is why you can't ascend without commandments. There are things you do to ascend. There are things you do to ascend. Let's go back to it. I want to just mention those things you do to ascend. Because you ascend and then you stand and then you abide. Give me 24 of Psalm. Holy hill. Holy hill. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. He that has clean hands and a pure heart. I don't think that these scriptures will be changed for anybody. Did you hear what I said now? Yeah. These scriptures, they won't change. It's a standard in the spirit. They won't change it for anyone. He that has clean hands and a pure heart. Clean hands are not possible without washing. You can't have clean hands. It's not his physical hands, it's our soul. You know, one thing with the soul is that the soul can be anything. The soul can be hands, the soul can be legs, the soul can be eyes, the soul can be tongue. The soul can take any shape. The soul has hands. The hands of the soul are the things that produce works. What that soul does. So hand is not just this your arm like that. It's what doest thou? Is it clean? When they judge your doings, is it clean? Now they link hand to heart. That's how they judge. They link your hand to your heart. A clean hand and a pure heart go together. If they don't give you a heart that is pure, your doings will not be clean. In other words, if they don't give you a heart that they've washed, they need to wash the heart. Your conscience. That is a major part of your heart that they need to sprinkle. Now, when they touch that place, works that will be produced, meaning what the soul will do, will be clean. Now, what allows motives and intentions in the heart to stay unattended to? Is conscience that is low. When your conscience is low, you won't judge certain intentions. You won't see certain intentions that are there. They are there. You won't see them because the conscience is a tool of judgment. Is a tool of judgment. There are some intentions that will be in the heart that can be used. You can be relating with your wife with some intention that is not, and it could have been working, and nothing could have gone wrong in the family, nothing could have, but it is not pure. That intention is not pure. But you yourself don't even know it's not pure. Because your tool of judgment is low. So it can't pick that wrong intention. Now, listen to me. It's not about whether you are at peace in your home, because there are many ways to achieve peace. There are many ways to achieve peace. If I beat you, and you know I will beat you. Some wives are at peace because their husbands are hot-tempered. Yeah. Some wives are at peace because their husbands are tyrants. So they know, I don't want beating and assault. So let me just do whatever he says. So the guy, for the guy, the thing, The thing is working. My home is okay. My wife, at least she has enough sense to know what not to do and what to do. So there are many ways to achieve what? There are many ways. It could be with money. But it's not the peace of God. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives. So the world gives peace. But there's a way the world gives its own peace. For instance, if you can beat him, and then he knows two of you are supposed to be quarreling, and he beats him very well, and he knows you beat him, he will be at peace with you. Did you get what I just said now? You didn't get me? Stand up, three of you. Sorry, I'm using you, pastors. This is one way to achieve peace in the world. This is one superpower. This is another superpower. And this one is struggling to be superpower. And then this superpower knows this one. He wants to be superpower, and then he's flexing muscles with him. And then the day he learns that he has beaten this one that has been beating him for long, he will be at peace. I don't know whether you understand me. There's no need for peace negotiation. He has enough sense to know, wow, he beats this guy, and this guy has been dealing with me. Please. If we even make peace with him so that maybe he will help him to beat this one. You can be seated. So there are many ways to achieve peace. But not the peace of the Lord. Not the peace of the Lord. His peace is different. Amen. So like I said, there are intents that are in the heart. Motives that are not seen and may not be judged. Because the instrument of judgment is low. Now that instrument of judgment being low is your conscience being low, which has to be sprinkled. The sprinkling of the conscience will bring about an elevation of the conscience, for your heart will not be purer than what your conscience can discern, judge, and operate in. Remove conscience, not pure heart. So you see why Satan goes after the conscience. That's why he goes after the conscience. That's why he seeks to have the conscience, harden the conscience. Once conscience is hardened, forget about pure heart. It's not possible. You can't have pure heart when conscience is hardened. So he goes after the conscience. So your heart is as pure as your conscience has been sprinkled or awakened to higher judgment. The higher the judgment your conscience can operate in, that is how pure your heart is. So in other words, climbing, one of the things they will begin to deal with us is our conscience. Ascending, they will begin to deal with the conscience, because a conscience that has been purged will definitely, that's what makes a good heart. A good heart, a good man. Remember Joseph? They said Joseph was a good man. It was because of conscience. His judgment could, his conscience could judge higher than what the law provided. Some, even, you know, the law is just there. Conscience is the one that uses the law. Now, conscience will interpret the law. Now, why will he not allow her to be stoned according to the law? You know the law. If he reports her and she is stoned, the law exonerates him, but conscience will not. Conscience, why did you allow her to be stoned. But the Lord knew that this man has a, when you say a man is, has a good heart, forget it, his conscience is sensitive to the call of God. Means when God places the man on the conscience, he can respond. So commandments can be given to him. This woman, she has a child of the Holy Ghost. Not heard of before. If you have an antecedent, you could reference upon it. But here, who has ever heard? No, even though he's in Isaiah, but it's a prophecy. Now, how do you know? How are you saying it's Mary? You mean that the prophets, they prophesied, and it's just this little girl, this little damsel that I'm... Why is it the one I'm betrothed to? Because it's never been heard of before that a virgin just became pregnant by the Holy Ghost. But conscience. You know what conscience will say? This could be God, though. This could be God. I need to be careful. I don't want to offend God. I need to be careful. This might be God. You know, that's conscience. See that? This might be God. You know, among the Pharisees, one of them that had conscience was Gamaliel. See, that thing was conscience. You see Nicodemus? It was conscience. Gamaliel called them and said, look, men and brethren, is it these guys? You know, remember during the time of taxation, one Judah rose up and then led some people astray. And we know what became of him. And then we've had countless of them like that came up, and then we know what became of them. But this one, let's also be careful. Because if it be of God, there is nothing you can do. But if it's not of God, you know what will happen to you. But if you be of God, let's be careful. Let's not be seen to be fighting God. That's conscience. That's what made that heart pure. You remember Nicodemus? When he was arguing for Jesus, he said, look, you guys, you know our law does not condemn anybody before hearing him. Conscience. Is that conscience that made him come to him at night? But you know what they said to him? Are you also a Galilean? Go and check the prophets. No prophet. Go and check the Torah. No prophet has ever risen from Galilee. But you don't know God. You don't know God. God can use the things, and he delights in using the things that men reject. The things that men reject are the things he likes using. That's conscience. Now those things are the things that makes... So what the works, meaning what that heart will do, or what the hand, which is still the soul, will do, will be clean. A good heart will produce a clean hands. When the heart is defiled, the hands, there's nothing you can do about it. Even their own thoughts is defiled. To him that is clean, or to him that is pure, all things are what? But to him that is defiled, nothing is pure. Nothing. Nothing is pure. That to him that, you know, he said to him that is defiled and what? Unbelieving. That's another thing that defiles the heart. Unbelieving. Nothing is pure. But even their mind and their what? Is defiled. Everything is defiled. So what the hand will definitely produce is defiled. But we are talking about ascending. Can you say ascending? Back to 24. Has a clean hand, a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He has not lifted up his soul, meaning his soul is not built up to vanity. To lift up your soul, it's like saying, lift up all ye gates. To lift up your soul, the soul is a building. And that's why it can be inhabited. There's a kind of building you have. There's a kind of building all of us has that accommodates vanity. And that building, they want to crumble it. It's a building that accommodates vanity. As long as that building... Now, he's just telling you how soul behaves. The soul can just be accommodating vanity. Vanity finds it very easy. Now, there's a way you will build that same soul. Vanity, it will be like a square peg trying to force it into a round hole. I don't know if you're following what I'm saying. Because of how the soul is configured, vanity will not be able to fit in. You know, the Lord can do that to us. How many of you desire it? A soul that has not lifted up to vanity, meaning is not raised after the order of vanity. So ascending is not easy. When you are ascending, you're also ascending against vanity. Vanity is one of the winds that will blow. You know, when you're climbing, those things that will make you get to a point you want to reconsider your life is vanity. It's vanity that is making you, those things that will make you at a point you regret the things you've lost. What will make you blame the things you're hearing is vanity. You don't know vanity. You think they live very easily. They still push their way through. They want to make you not fully ascend. Now, a soul that is raised up, before you can swear, you must be raised. There is no swearing without raising. There is nobody who swears by accident. There has to be raising. And the funny thing is that you don't even know when you're raised. That's when you hear raising, you're thinking, okay, maybe it takes years. Can I say something to us? Can I say something to you? Are you ready? Every one of us here have had gotten enough stature to swear to vanity. We carried that stature into church. Is that stature they are trying to break down? They want to crumble it. Every one of us, the world gave us stature without us knowing. They didn't wait until you are 25. They began, you know, you see the way the Lord, our Heavenly Father, helped Jesus from the cradle. Yeah, that's how the world fathered men. So from the cradle, the world has begun to Father. You know, they compared, if any man loves the love of the Father. So the world is also a father. So if they compare father with father, because the father will nurture, sow seed, nurture, and bless, the world also does the same. The world has ability to love his own. The world loves his own. So the world knows his own. So let's get back to the scriptures where I was reading in John chapter 10. So there's a law for ascending, and that's what I want to just bring to us. There's a law for standing, and there's a law for abiding. We will see that as we go further. As the Father knoweth me. So you can see the Father knew the Son. I want us to consider this verse. We are not going to rush it. As the Father knoweth me, the Father knows me. The Father knows me. Now, he's not talking about God in his omniscient capacity. The all-knowing God. No. How many of us believe what I just said now? That us. So there is us. There is us. What did I say? I'm not hearing you. I'm not hearing everybody. So he's talking specifically of a manner of knowing the Father knows me. He's not talking about knowing of the Father in his omniscient capacity as the all-knowing God. Is us. So he's referring to us. There's a manner that the Father knows me. Now for the Father to know you like that, you have to know the Father.
Yes, sir.
The Father to know you like that, you have to know the Father. So it is a two-way flow. As the Father knows me, even so, that same way, I know the Father. So there's a way Jesus knows the Father. There's a way the Father knows him. There's a way they know each other. In other words, it's not just communication. There is something about the two of them. There's a way the Father knows the Son. Now, the Father won't know anyone that way when the Father has not delivered his things to such a person. Get me? The Father himself must have given you. There is what the Father will give to you. When he gives it to you, then the Father has known you. What the Father gives is his seed, is the incorruptible seed. Anyone who has not got the incorruptible seed, the Father does not know you. I'll say it again. The Father has to deliver the incorruptible seed to you for it to be said that the Father knows you. So in other words, anyone who has not gotten the incorruptible seed, the Father does not know him. Meaning, the Father has not committed his seed into you. So what the Father actually knows are his things. Did you get what I just said now? What the Father knows are what? It's only his things he knows. It's only his things he sees. It's only his things he sees. Anything that is not his eyes are purer than to behold iniquity. Now we read that place, we thought what he's saying is that there is no iniquity that he cannot find out where it is. No, he doesn't see iniquity. You know, we have our things. He's not talking about fornication and adultery. No, we have our things. Those things we have are iniquity. When he sees, what he looks for is his thing. If he sees any other thing, that's iniquity. Any other thing that is not his is iniquity. So it's only his things that he sees. When he sees his things, then he knows you. Meaning he's at home with you. He can relax. This is mine. I don't know if you're following what I'm saying. This is mine. I know this is mine. I know, because if you have my seed, you are me. I don't know if you follow me. If you've got my seed, then you are me. So I know you. But you've not got my seed. I don't know you. So there are many believers that God does not know. What did I say? Now, I'm not saying that God does not. I know they are believers, but God has not succeeded in depositing the incorruptible seed in them, because it's as the Father knoweth the Son, even so the Son knoweth. What does the Son know about the Father? It's still the same seed. They won't deposit incorruptible seed in you and you will not know that seed.
Yes, sir.
is a knowledge. It's a knowledge of the incorruptible. That's what God has been fighting to see how he can lay this egg inside our soul, deposit it inside our soul. Because it's only when that is done, he'll say, "He's mine. This is my own. This is my own." Satan also makes claims according to his own seed. Oh, don't think he doesn't have seed. He has seed. You know, when you hear concerning Judas, he was off the wicked one. "Have I not chosen the 12 of you? And one of you is a devil." If you're a pastor and you say that, I can't even say that. You know why I can't say that? Because I don't have that stature. Neither do I have that judgment. But I can tell you, for the Lord to say that, you know, the Lord, I can't stretch 1% of how the Lord can stretch for one soul. What did I say? Amen. I want to say it again. I can't stretch 1% of how the Lord can stretch for his soul. So for him to say, "And one of you is a devil," I don't even need to try. In fact, what I need to ask, "Lord, I hope I'm not the one." Meaning he has seen a seed in him. He saw a seed in him. So that the adversary is not afraid of your gathering. He can come and sow even while the Lord is sowing. Remember that parable? After the good man sowed and went, why men slept? Someone came, the same ground, the guy got audacity. Where the Lord sowed, he come and sow by the side. Now, his intention is, if you give attention to his own, this one will eventually die. You can lose the incorruptible seed. You're supposed to hold it to the end. Meaning, you're supposed to hold it until it... When is it in a seed form? Listen to me. When is it in a seed form, it can be lost. It's supposed to be sown. You are to hold it. Your heart is the ground that is to hold it until it begins to germinate and become a tree that can bear fruit. Then the enemy, because that's what he was talking about there in that's John chapter 15. "I am the true vine, but any branch in me," how did that branch come in me? Now that teaching was not as Christ. The true vine was an everlasting tree. So how did a branch in me, because he didn't say outside me. If any branch in me, let's look at it. Verse 1. I need to tell you this, that the incorruptible seed, as is still a seed, can be lost. "I am the true vine, and my Father is a husbandman," and he's the Father that is the one cultivating. And what is cultivating? Because the Father is an everlasting Father. He is the one who cultivates the vine. He wants to bring everlasting life out of us, not as a seed, but as a fruit. "My Father is a husbandman. Every branch in me." Can you say every branch in me? Whoa. This is... So this branch journeyed to the point where he came into the vine. So that brings us to standing. So you can ascend, but you might not stand. I said you can ascend, Well, your feet needs to be made strong. You need to be planted. He said, they that be planted in the house. They that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish like the palm tree, like the cedar of Lebanon. They need to be planted. Now, when something is planted, when you're seeing a tree, does a tree lie down? A tree is standing. That's what it means to stand. Hallelujah. Amen. Am I saying anything that you're understanding? Am I saying something you're understanding? So there is the, my father is the husbandman. So any branch, what I'm saying is that how did he get to the point where he became in the vine? You know, the apostles were warned, beware, lest any man take your crown. He that thinketh he standeth, take heed, lest he falls. Having done all to stand, stand. Those are warnings for those who have ascended. Do all to stand. Don't relinquish your ground. Stand, therefore. Stand. Amen. He will take you away. Now, to take you away means, in the vine, when you are a branch engrafted in the vine, there is time limit. You will not be there forever, not bringing forth fruit. These are truths you need to know. They won't leave you as a branch forever, not bringing fruit. They give you time. You remember that parable where the good man wanted to cut down the tree that was not bearing fruit, and he said, the other one begged and said, please leave it. Let me give it time. Now, you know who did that? That parable was between the father and the son. The father will take you away. And the son said, leave it. Let me work on it. I will deground it. And then I'll pour manure. Let's see what will happen of it. Meaning there's a time for bringing forth fruit. Listen to me. There's a time for bringing forth fruit. There's a time for bringing forth fruit. Because any branch in me that... So, it means the Father will not say you're not bringing forth fruit if you've not fulfilled the season to bring forth fruit. So there's a season for bringing forth fruit, which you must fulfill. And when you fulfill that, or when that season is fulfilled and you don't bring forth fruit, what will happen to you? The Father will take you away. I love that. Taketh it, or that bringeth not fruit, he taketh away. He didn't say he would take him to hell. So he's not talking about hell here. You're wasting space in the vine. We need to put somebody else there. So they will take you away and keep you by the side. That's the crown. So somebody else will take your place. Because what you're supposed to do is to master the life in the vine to convert it to fruit. Crown is just simply mastery. It's a crown. It's mastery. So somebody else needs to be engrafted, and they waited for you and you're not bringing forth fruit. They will plug you out. Keep you. Bring someone and put there. There's a season. But any tree in me that is responding, Father. Can you say Father?
Father.
He will prune it. That's love. Can you say love?
Love?
So the Father will prune. That pruning is a demonstration of the love of the Father. I don't want to say it the way it's coming to me. But you see, they will chop some things. It's out of love. There are certain things they've done to you. It's actually love. But you can't discern it. You can't see it. You thought they were against you. No, they were loving you because they need to help you to bring forth more. They need to help you to do what? Because you can be taken away. You need to bear fruit. You've not chosen me, but I have chosen you to do what? That you should bear fruit. I chose you and I ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should, when you hear that word, remain. That's everlasting. It's only things that are everlasting that remains. So it means the fruit they are looking for is everlasting fruit. That's what, yes, unto. That's what remains. That's what they are looking for here. That whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my everlasting name. Haven't you quoted here before? Haven't you asked the Father some things in his name and they were not done? You know, some of us are not, you don't ask questions. Why wasn't this done? The key is there. You don't have fruit commensurate to what you're asking for. Somebody said, are you saying that we can't just pray and God hear us? No, there's order in coming. You know that. The one who prayed for Holy Ghost to come, was it the 120? Was it the 120? They were hiding. You see that upper room? It was a hideout. It wasn't prayer meeting. It was a hideout because they were arresting them. There were 500 of them that the Lord gave that commandment. By the end of the day, how many were there? Why? What happened to the rest? They couldn't endure. By the time they saw persecutions and all of that, they couldn't. They didn't want to come to that. It was a hideout. It was a hideout. So it wasn't their prayer that brought the Holy Ghost. Someone prayed. And what he prayed, they can't refuse him. That whatsoever you ask the Father. So it means that if I bear fruit unto everlasting life, then I can use the name at that level. Then it also means if I bear fruit at the level of eternal, then I can use the name. So you can see the name we are using. When you say in the name of Jesus, wow, your fruit. That whatever you ask the Father in my name is the revelation of where I am with you. So here was everlasting life name. I know it sounds somehow, but understand it. Everlasting name. You know, I was teaching us name before we got here. He said, he thought to have you asked nothing in my name. Now, he didn't tell them you've not been praying. You've been praying, but you've not asked in my name. Up until now, you've not asked anything in my name. In that day. In another place, he now told them, in that day. So there's a day. That day is this day when you begin to bring forth fruit. After that order, you will ask in my name. At that day, ye shall ask in my name. And I say unto you, I say not unto you that I will pray. So he has been praying the Father for them. They have been asking something. So the Father has been doing things because, you know, there are many things that have been done for us just purely because Jesus intervened. But he was telling you in that day, you will ask the Father. You will ask the Father. I won't pray for you. You will just ask the Father. Give me the next verse. You see why. For the Father himself loveth you because you have loved me. And I believe that I came out from him. Meaning you have a revelation of me as the everlasting Father. The Father will love you. That same place where he said, as the Father knoweth the Son, is actually love. Interaction. Even so, the Son also knoweth the Father, knows the Father, is love. So you can say, as the Father loveth the Son, so the Son also loveth the Father. So there is nothing the Son will ask that it will not be done for them. But you can get to that place where I will not need to pray for you. I'm using my access. I may not need to use that access because you two have come up there. I'll tell you, just talk to the Father. I didn't say I will talk to the Father for you. You talk to the Father because you've got the stature to stand before the Father. You were able to ascend and you're standing and you're bringing forth fruit. Now, the standing is the abiding. You need to stand. I mean, you ascend, you stand. He that doeth the will of the Lord abideth forever. So to bring forth fruit is declaring that you are now an abider. I'll show you why. When you stand, you are planted. But to abide, you must be bringing forth fruit. Fruit in the fruit is seed. Oh, Jesus. You don't understand me? In that fruit you've just brought forth is seed that can also bring forth. So you are now a carrier of everlasting or incorruptible seed. Another word is that you are a keeper. You've learned how to keep it. You are not just, they didn't just plant it in you. You've multiplied it and you can now keep. Now, when you are able to keep it, then it means that you can also be one who can communicate incorruptible seed. It's an understanding. Meaning you can communicate incorruptible understanding. You can communicate incorruptible understanding. Because it has... You're not just planted, you are now bearing fruit. You know what it means to bear fruit? Anybody you touch, not touch physically, you come in contact with, you have ability to give life. You will say words. As a preacher, we carry seed, but seeds are levels and grades. Now here, the seed you are carrying is the seed you can bear. You've kept. You're a keeper. The sower. You're now not just a tree, you're now a sower. Wow. And how you sow it is through words. There are many problems we as pastors can solve. Not yet. But there's coming a time. One thing about tree is that they will come to take shade. To take shade, it means that whatever is pursuing them, whatever decadence, whatever corruption that is pursuing them, when they come and take shelter under you, in fact, just coming under you, those operations ceases. Then you now, it ceases. Then you now, because the sun won't be able to scorch them. Then you now begin to minister to them. You begin to give them the seed you carry. By the time they eat out of it, corruption will be taken away. They will also be partaker of incorruptible. But you see, they can't even run to take shelter with a man who is carrying incorruptible seed if they've not discerned Christ. They will hate such a man. That was what made some people in the church hate the apostles. You think it was everybody that loved them? That's why when you see Paul talking to some church, he's talking to them affectionately. Because it's not everywhere he went to. I'm talking about church. They didn't just love him everywhere. But there are some places, you've received me. as an angel of God, even as the Lord Himself. Meaning they could discern Him. They love Him. Why men will not love one who is a tree that brings forth incorruptible seed is because of the world. The world also wants to do the same thing that the Lord is doing in men. He that loveth the world, the seed of the Father is not in him. There is something else in him. What is in him is what makes him love the world. When you see somebody love the world, he has a seed. They need to make him vomit that seed. If he doesn't vomit that seed, he will keep on loving the world. John chapter 10. John chapter 10, quickly. And I laid down my life. Three things I wanted to deal with this verse is one, as the Father loved the Son, and as the Son loves the Father, and then laying down of life. So the love or the knowing of God will result to laying down. Knowing of the Father. If somebody says, I know the Father. I know the Father. So you can see where you are right now. I like being frantic. Amen. That was in Light Apostolic Center. I was just talking, you know, where we talk altar called Holy Place, holiest of all. And you know, we are Holy Place brethren. I said, calm down. I think for me, if you ask me, I've just managed to enter the outer court. That was the same reaction. So where are we? Let me now make you. Outer court is not milk. Outer court is not milk. Outer court is not milk. Brazen altar is not milk. Oh. You know brazen altar? It's not milk, it's an altar. There is only one thing that happens on the altar. They sacrifice somebody. It's not milk. Milk, as a matter of fact, there's even a dimension in the camp that is not milk. So when you get to the outer court, one day the Lord showed me a picture which I've described to many of us. I just see guys who are being led. And they're leading you to approaching the outer court. You know the gate. It doesn't have veil. And they are leading all of you approaching. And then you now hear the cry. Ah! What is happening there? Angels will hold you, come. And then they are leading you. And then you now see, yeah, the guy. Don't make mistake, it's not an easy place. It's not an easy place. That's where they slay men. They slain men. They have to sedate us to bring us in. They have to sedate you. If they don't sedate you, you hear cry of soul that they are laying upon the brazen altar. In fact, it's not just there are souls that are under the altar. Those ones, they've killed them, they've kept them, they've not granted them entrance into the holy place. You think when they kill you, they will grant you entrance immediately? No, they will keep you under the altar. You will fulfill a particular season. Then they will take you to the brazen lava and wash you. When they finish washing you, before they now escort you to the holy place. In fact, when they escort you to the holy place, you must have learned how not to shout. you're still complaining, they will keep you under the altar. Because it was complaint that we are doing. Lord, how long? Oh God, how long will you not judge the men? Then we are complaining. They left them. They say, wait until your brethren who are supposed to be slain is completed. By the time they are escorting you to the holy place, you must have stopped complaining about your trials and tribulation. You're ready to enter the holy place. So where are we? I can imagine some of us, we've heard, you know the way you answered altar call before you gave your life to Christ. How many times do you answer altar call? That's how you've answered many altar calls to the brazen altar. And then comes a preacher. He will preach, teach, and then you energize. Then you now move, and then you answer the altar call. You just see, yeah! So you've been going up and down, to and fro. Because in the holy place, there's no noise. No noise in the holy place. No, you are not allowed to make noise. Not long ago, the Lord said, don't be mentioning about your affliction again. So don't talk about it again. Stop talking about it. Because you discourage some people. Keep quiet. Just keep moving. Amen. I laid down. So, if somebody said, I know the Father, we will check you out. Have you laid down your life? Now, in laying down your life, there is a laying down of life that we do in Christ. But there is the laying down of life. These are commandments that you do in the Father. That was what Jesus was talking about. Now, you can't be one who lays down your life. You want the Father to love you? You want the Father to love you? Lay down your life. But I can tell you, it's not easy for anyone to lay down life. They have to teach you how to lay down your life. They taught him how. They showed him how. They gave him commandments. And they are all in the scriptures. We'll see them by God's grace. They are all in the scriptures. How to lay down your life. First John said, this is how we perceive the love of God. Not that we first love him. No. He loved us first. He first loved us. It's deep. If I go into it, I will not stop. So they will teach you how to lay. Is a how. Is a manner of laying down your life. They taught the son how to lay down his life. Now, it's not one laying. It's not one. It's not one. Because back to that John chapter 10, where we are looking at. As the Father knoweth. Can you say knoweth? Say it again, no wet. Say it with me, no wet. That's King James English. No wet means knows, meaning is present continuance. So the Father is knowing him. As the Father is knowing him, this is how the Father is knowing him. He's teaching him how to lay down. So the laying down is not one day. You lay it down, lay it down, lay it down. Keep laying it down. Keep laying it down. Keep laying it down until you've mastered how to lay down. The Lord is not expecting you to lay it down one day. Some of us have laid down. He said, I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it. But I have commandments from my Father. I shouldn't take it. Some of us, that's even when you arrive at the place where they've taught you how to lay down. Yeah, I'm waiting for intervention. I've laid it down. I'm expecting some things to come. I'm expecting him to. When you lay down, you wait. You are not the one that will call him. When you lay down, you wait. He chooses when he comes. But I've been waiting. Let me use it small before. You've tarried for too long. Let me use it a little bit, then I'll lay it down again. And then I'll use it and use it and use it and use it and use it. Then I hear preaching on laying down. You've answered altar call. And then you are waiting. When is the husband going to come? When is the child going to come? When is this one going to happen? And then it's as if he tarries. Let me use it small. Kai. So they have to teach you how to lay down. You can't lay it down one day. They will teach you how to lay down and be consistent with it. Let me say this to us finally. Your life. Can you say my life?
My life.
Say it with me, my life.
My life.
Say it again with me, my life.
My life.
Your life is many. Many things constitute your life. Many things constitutes a man's life. They will teach you how to lay all of them down one by one. That's why you can't lay it all down at once. You have to be laying it down by commandment upon commandment upon commandment until you lay it all down. Many things constitute your life. I don't want to get into it. But they are the things that matters to you. They are the things that makes you feel belonging to the earth. They are the things that if you don't have it, you feel cheated. You feel naked. You feel as if you are not living. Well, there's a living that we define for ourselves. You feel you're not living. When those things are not there, you feel you're not complete. You feel inferior. You don't want to talk where your mates are talking because you feel you don't have that thing. And those things are the things that they will demand that you lay down. But we will lay down. That's what the knowledge of the Father is bringing to us. That's the knowledge of everlasting. You know when you hear everlasting, everlasting, everlasting brethren, our brethren who have been taught and given commandments to lay down their life. That's how you can tell that this person knows the Father. He knows the Father. You remember Jesus told them, he said, by this shall all men know that you are my, meaning I've taught you how to lay down. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. Are you blessed today? Well, amen. I feel like going into 1 John. There are many things in 1 John around this thing of laying down. When I read 1 John right now, what I'm just seeing is death. Death. Laying down. Dying. Paul said, I die daily. That is the death in Christ. I'm saying the final thing I want to say here. Paul said, I do what? Die daily. That's the death in Christ. The death in the Father is stronger. It's actually the death in the Father, they said. They were comparing it with love. That thing you call love that you find in 1 John is actually commandment of death in everlasting life. It's stronger. Love is stronger than death. There's a love that is stronger than death. There's a love that is stronger than hell. There's a love that is stronger than death. Death, hell. Hell is higher. There's sin and death. There is death and hell. What handles them? Each of those levels are love. That what you're calling love is actually death. That's what is laid all over the epistle of John. They just use the word love. But it's death. He said, we've received this commandment that we should love God and love our brother also. Now, that love there is as I have loved you. How did I love you? How did I love you? I laid down. Now, when you hear I died, it's not that they will come and crucify you. They don't need to crucify you, but there are commandments they will give to you concerning your brother, concerning your sister. That is tantamount to death. Amen. 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 I just sense that that fear. I just sense the fear of the Lord. I just sense it in the atmosphere. I just sense that fear, and I'm praying that it will baptize our hearts. Because this is a zone of fear. It's a zone of fear. You know, they call, when you hear love, it's also the same thing as fear. Love is the same thing as fear. And love is also death. They say the fear of death. So death has fear, meaning love has fear. I ask that the Lord will cause that baptism to rest upon us. We will have what is called, he said, you serve him. We therefore receiving a kingdom that cannot be moved. Let us do what? That's Hebrews chapter 13, the last verse. Wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be, that's everlasting kingdom. That's a kingdom that cannot be moved. It's an everlasting kingdom. Let us do what? Serve. Let us have grace. Kai. Let us have grace. So there's a grace that fear brings to a soul. That's what I'm sensing. There's a way the soul will be baptized with fear. That fear is grace for to serve God. This is not Christ now. This is God. To serve him acceptably with reverence and godly fear. May the Lord baptize us with fear. Reverence and godly fear. In the name of Jesus. Can we begin to give him praise this morning? Father, we thank you. Oh, we worship you. Let's ask him for more of such baptism. Let's ask him for more of such baptism in this teaching. Amen. There's something I noticed that teachings do. And that's why you need to pray for utterance. When there is utterance, there's every seed, you know, the coriander that we are talking about, the manna, and the manna was likened to coriander seed. And there is the atmosphere around manna that is what escorts the manna. Now every word, every message has a cloud atmosphere that escorts it. Now you don't eat that without the atmosphere. You need that atmosphere. I'm praying that the atmosphere will increase. Yeah. It's a baptism that our soul needs to come into more. Let's ask the Lord as we continue in this teaching that the atmosphere will. Talking about atmosphere a little bit as you're praying, it's not as if the things I'm saying right now that has not been said before. It's not as if things that will be said tomorrow are things that you've not heard somehow, one way or the other. But there is an atmosphere that will be there and it will rest. If that atmosphere is not there, it will be said, it will fly. It will just fly away. As it's landing, it's flying away. But there's an atmosphere that will be there. When it's said, it will just rest. It will enter the soul.
Pouring, a vina natata pouring, a secret safan and up a pouring, a foria and a state up at pouring, a nicoroco stofilini tilini astocata a pouring, ilone keto sopre kefinoga prosafina at pouring, is an onosto perin astocate up at pouring, a mongri astopio vani akata at it at hat at pouring, it hat at pouring, hat at pouring, hat at pouring, hat pouring, outpouring, outpouring of the Spirit, outpouring of the Spirit, outpouring of the Spirit for a baptism into the Spirit of everlasting life, into the Spirit of everlasting life, outpouring, outpouring, outpouring for initiation, for many should be initiated into that life, into that life, into that life, into that life, into that life. Oh, outpouring, for it is hanging over you. The Spirit of everlasting life. The Spirit of everlasting life. That many should enter. That many should participate. That many should come to this fellowship. There is a fellowship I am calling you into. And many should obey this fellowship. And many should be part of this fellowship. Even the fellowship of the Father. Even the fellowship of the Father. Therefore we bring the baptism. Therefore we bring the baptism. Therefore we bring the baptism that will make me qualify to participate. Therefore I say pray. 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 I say pray and 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 pray until you enter. Until you enter. Until you are baptized. Until you are baptized. Until you are baptized. Therefore I say pray. I say pray for proper position. I say pray that your baptism may be full. I say pray that you may be overwhelmed. Even with that atmosphere, share the Spirit of God.
Amen. So as we begin to pray next Sunday, we are going to be praying for this baptism. Baptism of everlasting life is a cloud, is an entrance, is a place we must enter. Amen. We give God praise. Hallelujah.
Oh, by the new and living way.
We trust you have been blessed by this message. For more inquiries, please visit www.nlwc.church or call 0909-054-2599. You can also contact us by WhatsApp on 0803-688-4759. God bless you.
Oh, by the new and living way, consecrated Father.